Chapter 7. Love Song's Legacy. Kingston, 1972, the night Stick By Me took the stage. The lights dimmed, the crowd hushed, and the band played the gentle opening chords of Stick By Me. John Holt stepped to the microphone, one hand lightly gripping the stand, his voice gliding into the first line with a softness that filled every corner of the venue. By the second verse, couples in the crowd had drawn closer together, swaying slowly, mouthing the words as if the song were their own. When the final note faded, the applause was almost too loud for the delicate mood the song had created. Holt smiled faintly, not a showman's grin, but the quiet satisfaction of a man who knew the power of a love song done right. The birth of Stick By Me. The idea for Stick By Me came from Holt's belief that the best love songs were rooted in sincerity. He wanted lyrics that anyone could say to a partner without feeling they belonged only in a song. In interviews, he later said, "I don't sing for the stage first, I sing for the living room. If a song can sit in someone's home and feel true, then it's ready for the stage." The track's arrangement was minimal by design. Soft rhythm guitar, steady bass, gentle percussion, and strings that wrapped around his voice like a slow embrace. It wasn't just another single. It was a statement that Holt's solo career would have a strong romantic core. The impact of Stick By Me. Upon release, the song became an instant favorite in Jamaica and abroad. It topped local charts and found its way into the collections of West Indian households in the UK and Canada. For many, it became the soundtrack to weddings, anniversaries, and late-night radio dedications. Critics praised Holt's ability to balance tenderness and strength in his delivery. He didn't oversing. He let the emotion flow naturally, giving the listener space to feel the song rather than be overwhelmed by it. Building the love song catalog. Following the success of Stick By Me, Holt leaned deeper into romantic ballads. Tracks like If I Were a Carpenter, A Love I Can Feel, and I'd Love You to Want Me showcased his versatility in interpreting both original material and covers. He had a gift for making a cover song entirely his own. Even when audiences knew the original, Holt's phrasing and timing transformed it into something uniquely Jamaican. His renditions carried the warmth of rocksteady roots while appealing to international pop sensibilities. Stagecraft for romance. Live, Holt understood that love songs required a different energy than political anthems or up-tempo dance numbers. He kept his movements minimal, focusing on facial expression and vocal delivery. Sometimes he would close his eyes during a chorus, as if singing directly to someone only he could see. This subtlety made audiences lean in. At shows, couples often danced cheek to cheek, and even those without a partner would sway in time with the music. The atmosphere he created was intimate, even in large venues. International recognition. By the mid-1970s, Holt's reputation as reggae's premier love song singer was spreading internationally. Promoters in the UK began marketing his shows specifically to audiences who favored romantic reggae, a subgenre gaining popularity alongside roots and dub. Holt toured with set lists carefully balanced between love songs and socially conscious tracks, ensuring he appealed to the full spectrum of reggae fans. His romantic catalog often served as the emotional high points of the night, drawing the loudest applause and the most audience participation. The emotional resonance of Holt's ballads. Part of Holt's magic was his ability to sing love songs without cliché. Even familiar themes felt fresh in his voice. He avoided unnecessary embellishment, letting the lyrics speak plainly. Fans often described his songs as truthful. They weren't fairy tales. They acknowledged the challenges of relationships while celebrating the enduring desire to hold on to love. That honesty gave his ballads lasting appeal. They weren't tied to a particular decade or trend. Influence on future artists. Younger singers took note. Many credited Holt with showing that romantic reggae could stand alongside, not beneath, the more politically charged side of the genre. His ability to maintain credibility while singing love songs set a standard that others sought to match. Artists across generations have covered his ballads, keeping them alive for audiences too young to have heard the originals on release. This continuing presence in reggae's romantic canon speaks to the strength of the foundation Holt built in this era. The love songs of John Holt weren't background music. They were front and center, carrying the same cultural weight as any anthem or protest track. In the 1970s, he became the voice of romance in reggae, a title he never chased but naturally embodied. And while the world loved him for it, Holt was about to prove that his artistry went beyond matters of the heart, into the urgent and unflinching territory of social commentary. Chapter 8, Reggae Evolution. Opening scene, Kingston, 1975, studio session for a Roots track. The bass was deep enough to rattle the floor. In the control room, smoke curled toward the ceiling as the engineer adjusted the levels. Holt stood before the microphone, headphones on, nodding slightly to the rhythm. The track beneath his voice was heavier than the love songs he had built his name on. The drums more insistent, the guitar sharper, the bass line slower but thicker, pulling each lyric into its orbit. Outside the studio walls, Kingston was alive with political energy and unrest. Elections, street demonstrations, and debates about Jamaica's future filled the air. Inside, Holt was channeling that atmosphere into something new for him. Roots reggae with a message. The shift from rocksteady to roots reggae. By the mid-1970s, reggae had taken a decisive turn. Where rocksteady had been smooth and romantic, roots reggae was raw, spiritual, and often political. It reflected the growing influence of Rastafarian culture and the realities of post-independence Jamaica. Poverty, inequality, and a struggle for identity in a globalized world. For Holt, this shift was both a challenge and an opportunity. He had built a career on love songs, but he was also a keen observer of the times. He recognized that reggae was no longer just about rhythm and romance. It had become a platform for truth-telling. Entering the Roots era, Holt's entry into Roots reggae was deliberate. He didn't abandon his romantic material. Fans still expected it. But he began weaving social themes into his albums. The production style shifted too. Heavier bass lines, more prominent drums, and sparse but piercing guitar chops. One of the key influences was his collaboration with producers who were deeply embedded in the Roots scene. They pushed Holt to experiment with slower tempos, deeper grooves, and lyrics that spoke directly to Jamaica's political climate. Political climate and musical response. The 1970s were a tense period in Jamaica's history. The rivalry between the People's National Party, PNP, and the Jamaica Labour Party, JLP, often spilled into the streets, resulting in violence and community divisions. Internationally, Jamaica's ties with socialist movements and its outspoken stance on global issues made it a voice in the wider post-colonial world. Artists responded in kind. Music became a rallying cry, a form of protest, and a way to unite communities in the face of division. Holt's role in this movement was to bridge worlds, to bring his loyal audience from the ballad years into the more charged environment of roots reggae without alienating them. Songs of social commentary. One of Holt's earliest forays into overt political commentary came in a track that addressed economic inequality. The lyrics were simple but cutting, focusing on the widening gap between the wealthy elite and the working poor. His delivery was calm, not angry, but the weight of the message was unmistakable. Another notable song from this era painted a picture of the struggles in Kingston's inner-city neighborhoods, from joblessness to rising crime. Holt's approach was observational, describing scenes without sensationalizing them, allowing listeners to draw their own conclusions. Balancing love and resistance. Holt never abandoned love songs, even at the height of his roots period. Instead, he placed them alongside socially aware tracks on the same albums, creating a balance between intimacy and urgency. This duality made his records accessible to a wider audience. Those who wanted music for the heart and those who wanted music for the conscience. In interviews, Holt explained that love and social justice were not separate themes. Love for people, love for community. That is also part of the struggle, he once said. Influence of Rastafarian ideals. Though Holt was not as publicly associated with Rastafarianism as some of his contemporaries, the movement's values found their way into his work. Songs from this era carried messages of unity, moral strength, and spiritual grounding. Even in tracks without explicit religious references, the influence was clear in his calls for equality and respect. Holt's understated style made these messages approachable for audiences who might have been resistant to more militant voices in reggae. International roots recognition. Holt's roots era material began to gain traction overseas, especially in the UK, where the reggae scene was thriving. Sound systems embraced his politically charged tracks, and they became staples in both West Indian and progressive political circles. This period also saw Holt sharing festival lineups with artists like Burning Spear, Culture, and Dennis Brown, performers whose music defined the Roots reggae movement. His presence alongside them signaled that he was more than a romantic balladeer. He was part of reggae's evolving core. Musical legacy of the Roots period. Holt's Roots recordings never overshadowed his love songs in public memory, but they deepened his artistic legacy. They showed his range, his willingness to adapt, and his refusal to remain in a single category. Today, those tracks stand as a testament to a period when reggae was more than entertainment. It was the heartbeat of a nation grappling with its identity. Holt's contribution was to make that heartbeat resonate with listeners who might have otherwise tuned out the message. By the late 1970s, John Holt had successfully navigated the transition from romantic rocksteady to socially conscious roots reggae. He stood as one of the few artists who could move fluidly between themes of love and struggle, capturing the full spectrum of Jamaican life in his music. And in the years to come, he would push this balance even further, stepping onto the world stage as a voice for both the heart and the conscience. Chapter 9. International Breakthrough London, 1977, First Headline Show. The lights inside the Hammersmith Odeon dimmed, and a wave of anticipation rolled over the crowd. This wasn't a typical London concert. It was a gathering of Caribbean immigrants, reggae enthusiasts, and curious first-time listeners. Some had grown up on Holt's records in Kingston. Others had discovered him through the growing reggae scene in Britain. When the band struck the first notes of Ali Baba, the audience erupted. Holt walked out in a sharp suit, his posture calm but commanding. The applause was long and loud, the kind reserved for someone who had already won the crowd before singing a single note. By the time he closed the show with Stick By Me, the entire hall was on its feet. That night marked the moment John Holt officially crossed from Jamaican star to international headliner, reggae's growing UK market. By the mid-1970s, reggae had moved well beyond Jamaica's borders. In the UK, the genre found a natural audience among West Indian immigrants who brought their records, sound system culture, and deep musical traditions with them. British-born youth from these communities were blending Jamaican rhythms with local influences, while non-Caribbean listeners were discovering reggae through radio shows, clubs, and festivals. This environment created an opening for artists like Holt. His reputation as both a love song singer and a socially aware performer meant he could appeal to multiple audiences. Romantic ballads drew in older fans and couples, while his roots tracks connected with younger, politically conscious listeners. Partnership with Trojan Records. Trojan Records played a central role in Holt's UK breakthrough. Founded in 1968, the label specialized in bringing Jamaican music to British audiences. By the time Holt signed distribution deals for his albums, Trojan had already built strong retail and radio networks, ensuring that his releases reached not only Caribbean neighborhoods, but also mainstream record shops. The label recognized Holt's crossover potential. They promoted his love songs to mainstream pop audiences while marketing his roots material to reggae purists. This dual approach helped him avoid being pigeonholed and expanded his reach. First UK tours. Holt's early UK tours were strategic. Rather than performing only in London, he traveled to cities with significant Caribbean populations: Birmingham, Manchester, Bristol, and Leeds. These shows were often hosted in community halls, theaters, and nightclubs that doubled as cultural hubs. Fans recall the intimacy of these concerts. Holt wasn't flashy on stage. His power came from the precision of his voice and the warmth of his presence. Between songs, he spoke directly to the audience, thanking them for supporting Jamaican music abroad. Festival appearances. As reggae's popularity grew, so did the scale of Holt's performances. By the late 1970s, he was appearing at major UK festivals, sharing the stage with acts like Gregory Isaacs, Dennis Brown, and UK-based reggae bands. These events brought together thousands of fans, creating spaces where reggae stood alongside rock, funk, and soul. At these festivals, Holt often tailored his set lists to highlight his versatility. He might open with a roots track, transition into a ballad, and close with a high-energy rocksteady number. This range allowed him to stand out among lineups that sometimes leaned heavily toward one style. Media and press in the UK. Holt's presence in the UK didn't go unnoticed by the media. Music magazines began running interviews and reviews, often praising his ability to captivate a crowd without resorting to showmanship. The BBC featured him on radio programs, giving him exposure beyond reggae's core audience. In print interviews, Holt often spoke about the importance of maintaining authenticity while adapting to new audiences. He resisted pressure to change his sound purely for commercial gain, believing that sincerity was the key to longevity. Building a transatlantic career. The success of Holt's UK performances created a transatlantic rhythm to his career. He would spend months in Jamaica writing and recording, then travel to Britain for tours and promotional appearances. This balance kept him grounded in his roots while expanding his global profile. It also opened doors to collaborations with UK-based musicians and producers. These partnerships introduced subtle new textures to his music, elements of British soul, jazz-inflected arrangements, and more polished production techniques. Cultural connection with the diaspora. For the Jamaican diaspora in Britain, Holt's concerts were more than entertainment. They were cultural affirmations. Hearing his voice live was a reminder of home, of dances in Kingston, late-night radio shows, and the familiar warmth of Caribbean rhythms. Fans often describe these performances as emotional experiences, moments when music bridged the distance between their current lives and their heritage. Holt understood this deeply, treating each show as a shared celebration rather than a one-sided performance. International momentum. Holt's UK breakthrough also caught the attention of promoters in Europe, Canada, and parts of Africa. His ability to sing love songs with universal appeal made him an easy fit for international festivals, while his roots tracks gave him credibility in politically conscious music circles. By the early 1980s, he had established himself as one of reggae's global ambassadors, a role he carried with quiet pride. John Holt's international breakthrough was not a sudden explosion, but a steady, deliberate climb. By building a genuine connection with UK audiences, partnering with a label that understood his range, and staying true to his voice, he transformed from a Jamaican star into a global figure. The next chapter would see him harness this momentum to deliver one of the most politically charged songs of his career, an anthem that would echo far beyond the reggae world. Chapter 10. Police in Helicopter. Kingston, 1983, late night recording session. The studio's air was heavy with cigarette smoke and the hum of equipment. Through the glass, the band was locked into a slow, pulsing groove. The bass throbbed low, the drums crisp and deliberate, the guitar clipped in sharp offbeat chops. John Holt stepped up to the microphone, adjusting his headphones. His eyes were fixed, his voice calm but charged. Police in Helicopter. The words were delivered not in anger, but with a quiet certainty. The tone of a man stating a truth everyone already knew. Outside those studio walls, Jamaica was tense. Helicopters from the Jamaican Constabulary Force had been flying low over rural ganja-growing regions, searching for illegal crops. Farmers were watching their livelihoods disappear in a matter of minutes as aerial raids burned fields that had sustained families for generations. By the end of the night, Holt had recorded a song that would become one of reggae's most enduring protest anthems, the political and social climate. In the early 1980s, Jamaica's ganja trade was under intense pressure from both domestic law enforcement and international agreements with the United States. The U.S. government was pushing for stricter anti-drug enforcement across the Caribbean, and Jamaica, already dealing with economic struggles, was caught between local livelihoods and international politics. Helicopter raids became a symbol of state power. For rural farmers, it wasn't just about losing a crop. It was about losing the ability to feed their families, pay school fees, and keep their communities afloat. These raids also deepened mistrust between rural citizens and government authorities. In Kingston's music scene, artists began addressing the issue through song. Some took militant stances, others approached it with humor. Holt's decision to address it carried extra weight because of his reputation. He wasn't known for political confrontation, which made his statement all the more striking. Holt's approach to protest music. Holt had sung socially aware songs before, but Police in Helicopter was different. It was direct, uncompromising, and left no room for ambiguity. Yet it retained his trademark composure. He didn't shout, he didn't rant. The strength of the song came from its calm defiance. The opening line immediately set the scene. The title itself was powerful, visual, literal, and impossible to ignore. From there, the lyrics laid out a simple message. The raids would not break the spirit of the people, and the fight to preserve their way of life would continue. The recording session. The track was recorded at a Kingston studio known for its crisp, bass-heavy sound. the musicians approached it with a deep respect for the subject matter. The bass line was steady and grounding, the drum pattern spacious but firm, leaving room for Holt's voice to carry the weight of the message. In the control booth, the producer kept playback levels high to feel the physical impact of the rhythm. Each take built intensity without rushing. Holt's delivery was measured. He knew that the quiet confidence in his tone would make the message land harder than any raised voice could. By the time the final take was complete, everyone in the studio knew they had captured something significant. Release and reaction in Jamaica. When police and helicopter hit the streets, the reaction was immediate. It became an anthem in rural communities affected by the raids and a rallying cry at dances across the island. Radio stations played it despite its pointed criticism of government policy, in part because Holt's status gave him a level of protection. The song's popularity also made it difficult to suppress. Banning it outright would have risked even more public attention. International resonance. The song's reach extended far beyond Jamaica. In the UK, where reggae fans were deeply connected to Jamaican political issues, Police and Helicopter was embraced as a defiant stand against oppressive authority. In parts of Africa and the Pacific, it resonated with communities facing similar struggles over land and livelihood. Sound systems across Europe made it a staple, and it became one of Holt's most requested tracks during international tours. Its universal message, resistance to unjust control, gave it longevity far beyond the specific circumstances of its creation. Criticism and controversy. While many praised Holt for speaking out, the song also drew criticism. Some government officials viewed it as encouraging illegal activity. Others argued that it oversimplified a complex issue involving international treaties and Jamaica's global standing. Holt, for his part, framed the song not as a defense of the ganja trade specifically, but as a defense of people's right to live without undue interference in their means of survival. Enduring legacy. Decades later, Police and Helicopter remains one of Holt's most iconic recordings. It continues to be played at reggae festivals, covered by younger artists, and sampled in modern tracks. Its hook, simple, visual, and memorable, ensures it remains relevant to new generations discovering Holt's music. The song also cemented his place in reggae's protest tradition. While he would always be celebrated for his romantic ballads, this track proved that he could speak with equal authority on matters of social justice. In 1983, Holt didn't just release another single. He delivered a statement that echoed far beyond Jamaica's shores. Police and Helicopter captured a moment in history with clarity and courage, and in doing so, expanded the boundaries of what his voice could mean. The next phase of his career would see him building on that expanded role, balancing the poet of love with the voice of resistance. Chapter 11. Roots and Reality. Kingston, August 6, 1985, Independence Day Concert. The National Stadium was alive with sound. The steady hum of the crowd, the echo of drums from the opening act, the chatter of vendors selling roasted peanuts and chilled sodas. Flags waved from every corner, red, gold, and green blending with the black, green, and gold of Jamaica's national colors. It was Independence Day, and the concert lineup was a who's who of Jamaican music. As the sun dipped below the horizon, John Holt walked onto the stage in a crisp white suit, microphone in hand. The applause swelled, rolling across the open-air venue. He began not with a love ballad or a protest song, but with a piece that celebrated Jamaican pride, a reminder that his voice was as much a part of the island's identity as the rhythms that shaped it. The bridge between local and global. By the mid-1980s, Holt was more than a singer. He was a cultural ambassador. His music traveled across borders, but it carried with it the unmistakable imprint of Jamaica. Whether he was performing a love song, a roots anthem, or a politically charged track, the essence of Jamaican storytelling, rhythm, and resilience was always present. This bridging role was critical during a period when reggae was gaining new audiences worldwide. Bob Marley's legacy had cemented reggae's global profile, but artists like Holt were ensuring the genre's diversity was represented, showing that reggae could hold space for romance, social commentary, and cultural pride all at once. Cultural identity in the lyrics. Holt's work in this period often reflected Jamaican values and everyday experiences. Songs painted portraits of street life, rural beauty, and the enduring strength of the working class. His lyrics didn't romanticize hardship, but they honored the dignity of people who faced it with courage. He also incorporated phrases and idioms from Jamaican patois, grounding his songs in the rhythms of local speech. This made his music resonate deeply at home while offering international audiences an authentic window into Jamaican culture. Performing at national events. Holt's stature meant he was frequently invited to perform at national celebrations, cultural festivals, and benefit concerts. These events allowed him to sing directly to his fellow Jamaicans, often in moments charged with emotion, whether in times of national pride or collective mourning. At these performances, he often spoke to the crowd between songs, urging unity and reminding them of the cultural richness they carried. His words, delivered in the same measured tone as his singing, carried weight without needing to shout. Reggae's global spread and Holt's role. As reggae continued to expand globally, Holt's music found audiences in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. In Nigeria, Ghana, and South Africa, his songs were embraced as part of the wider Pan-African cultural exchange. In Japan, where reggae had a niche but devoted following, Holt's ballads became collector's items. Touring in these regions allowed Holt to witness firsthand how reggae connected people across vastly different cultures. He often remarked on the similarities he saw, the way audiences thousands of miles from Jamaica understood the struggles and joys his songs described, balancing commercial and cultural commitments. International fame brought opportunities for commercial collaborations, but Holt was selective. He resisted altering his sound to fit fleeting trends, preferring to adapt in ways that didn't compromise his core style. When working with foreign producers, he insisted on retaining Jamaican musicians or incorporating Jamaican rhythms. This ensured that even when his songs were tailored for a broader market, they remained rooted in the sound and spirit of home, mentoring the next generation. Holt's growing role as a cultural figure also extended to mentorship. Young artists looked to him not only for vocal guidance, but for lessons in professionalism and stagecraft. He advised newcomers on everything from handling sound checks to managing finances, emphasizing that longevity in music came from discipline as much as talent. In interviews, many credited Holt with helping them navigate the pressures of the industry while staying true to their art. Roots reggae as cultural preservation. For Holt, roots reggae wasn't just a style. It was a means of preserving Jamaican history and values. By embedding local stories, proverbs, and references in his songs, he contributed to an oral tradition that reached beyond recorded music. Even in ballads, he would sometimes slip in references to Jamaican landscapes, foods, or social customs, making the songs culturally anchored. This subtle integration helped keep these elements alive in the minds of listeners at home and abroad. A voice for Jamaican unity. Holt's position in Jamaican music allowed him to be a unifying figure during politically divided times. While other artists openly aligned with political parties, Holt's message was consistently about togetherness. This neutrality, combined with his broad appeal, allowed his music to be played and celebrated across social and political lines. By the late 1980s, John Holt had fully embodied the role of a cultural bridge, connecting Jamaica's traditions to the global stage while ensuring that the realities of Jamaican life remained at the heart of his work. Whether singing for tens of thousands at a national celebration or in a small club halfway around the world, he carried the same message. Jamaica's music was not just entertainment. It was identity, history, and pride. Chapter 12. Collaborations and Duets. Kingston, 1987. Tuff Gong Studio. The afternoon sun cut through the high windows of Tuff Gong's main studio, casting soft golden light across the room. The scent of fresh wood polish mixed with the faint tang of solder from recently repaired audio cables. At the center, John Holt stood beside another giant of reggae, Dennis Brown. Between them, a single microphone hung suspended, catching the easy laughter they shared as they worked out the harmonies for their duet. The song was a blend of two worlds: Holt's smooth, measured delivery and Brown's youthful, soul-inflected energy. They ran through the chorus again, tightening the blend until it felt like one voice split into two tones. By the time the tape rolled, there was no sense of competition, only the joy of two seasoned artists lifting each other higher. The art of the reggae collaboration. In reggae's golden years, collaborations were more than marketing strategies. They were cultural conversations. Artists came together not to merge fan bases, but to share styles, ideas, and musical philosophies. Holt thrived in this environment. His adaptable voice made him an ideal partner, able to match energy levels, shift between lead and harmony roles, and mold his tone to complement another's. Producers recognized this quality early on. When they wanted a duet that balanced romance with maturity or social commentary with calm authority, Holt was on the shortlist. Studio partnerships. Throughout the 1980s and 1990s, Holt recorded with an impressive range of reggae talents. Sessions with Dennis Brown, Gregory Isaacs, Freddie McGregor, and Sugar Minot stand out for their chemistry and shared respect. Each collaboration had its own flavor. With Gregory Isaacs, the sessions leaned toward lovers rock, their voices weaving in and out like two storytellers swapping verses. With Freddie McGregor, the energy shifted toward roots and conscious themes, each singer reinforcing the other's message. Holt approached these projects with humility. He entered sessions prepared, often knowing his partner's catalog well enough to suggest subtle melodic nods that fans would catch. Duets on stage. Live performances brought another layer to Holt's collaborations. Festivals and multi-artist concerts often featured impromptu duets, where Holt would step up beside another singer mid-song. One memorable moment came at Reggae Sunsplash, where Holt joined Gregory Isaacs on stage for a surprise performance of Let's Fall in Love Again. The crowd, already charged from Isaacs' set, erupted when Holt walked on. Without rehearsal, they fell into a natural harmony, trading lines and smiles as if they'd been singing together for years. These spontaneous moments often became fan highlights, reminders that reggae's community spirit extended beyond the studio. Cross-generational collaborations. As reggae evolved into the 1990s and 2000s, Holt sought out opportunities to work with younger artists. His collaborations with singers from the Lovers Rock Revival and Modern Roots movement helped bridge the gap between eras. Younger performers spoke of how Holt made space for them in the studio, never overshadowing their contributions. He viewed these partnerships as part of his responsibility to keep reggae's vocal traditions alive, blending styles and themes. One of Holt's strengths in duets was his ability to merge different thematic directions. If a partner wanted to lean heavily into romantic storytelling, Holt could match that tone without losing his own style. If the track demanded a shift toward social consciousness, he adjusted seamlessly. This adaptability was not just vocal, it was emotional. Holt's performances always felt grounded in genuine feeling, making even the most polished studio tracks resonate with sincerity. International collaborative work. Beyond Jamaica, Holt recorded with artists in the UK reggae scene, including Lovers Rock icons like Janet Kay and Carol Thompson. These projects often introduced his voice to audiences who knew reggae primarily through its softer, romantic expressions. In Europe, he appeared on collaborative bills with African reggae artists, trading verses in performances that blended Caribbean and African musical sensibilities. These events reinforced reggae's global reach and its shared language of rhythm and resistance. The legacy of his duets. Holt's collaborative work stands as a testament to his versatility and generosity as an artist. Many of these songs remain fan favorites, not only for their musical quality, but for the way they capture reggae's communal heart. Younger artists continue to cite these partnerships as examples of how established musicians can work with emerging talent without ego or creative conflict. In a genre where individuality is celebrated, Holt's duets prove that unity could be just as powerful. John Holt's collaborations and duets added depth to his already rich catalog. They showcased his ability to adapt, to share the spotlight, and to create music that was more than the sum of its parts. Whether standing beside a fellow veteran or lifting up a new voice, Holt brought the same calm authority and open-hearted artistry that defined his entire career. The next chapter would turn away from the stage and spotlight, focusing instead on the man behind the music, his family life, values, and the private world that shaped the public figure.